Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Cedar.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
And I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Tuesday, July 19th, 2016. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. And ladies and gentlemen, not unlike last night, this is a special news report. The Republican Crap Show 2016, day two. Norovirus in the house. Elena Trump.
Chinese food as well.
Chinese food is here. It is America, Make America Work night. And it is, as such, we have ordered Chinese food. The Chinese food has just made its way into the room.
Chinese food is coming into the building.
Kelly, do you have enough cash there? All right, don't go crazy with the tip.
You really want to say that on air?
I'm joking.
Don't spend all my money.
You know, the problem is China.
China.
And oh my God, Kelly, how much did you give him for a tip? What? Just $5?
You just give him $5?
Seriously?
Jesus Christ.
What,
are you a Trump supporter
bucks?
Now?
You give him a, you give him a 20%?
It's all unbelievable.
Right. Whatever. It's
safer delivery.
What's that?
Hi,
okay,
I
it's not
am
the same.
A
All
deliverer
right.
for China Dynasty. I would like to do a
All right,
report
ladies and
on
gentlemen,
a progressive show.
Okay,
that
look,
tip.
let's get down to brass tacks here. last night was, as
yes,
you know, if you enjoyed us last night, was a long,
long is the word.
Long first night of the convention, when we basically left the air. I mean, did we actually report the Melania Trump thing?
We did not report the Michelle Obama plagiarism, no.
No.
We had already signed off.
We had signed off. All right. So when we left you last night, it was just simply, in some instances, a very long, boring night of speakers. In other instances, it was a night of good old-fashioned, not Trump-esque, good old-fashioned, somewhat vaguely submerged racism permeating the night.
That
and
is
a lot
pretty
of,
good.
A lot of fear-mongering, you know, which, of course, sets off the lizard brains in the Republican Party. Last night, of course, we heard from our correspondent, Catherine Harris, who is somewhere between 2 and 4 floors below the floor of the Republican convention. Also, we heard from Alona Minkovich. We heard from who else? I can't even remember.
Cliff Schechter.
Oh, yes.
Andy
Judy
Kindler.
Gold, Andy
Judy
Kindler.
Gold.
Oh, and
Melania Trump gave the policy view.
Oh, that's
speech.
Right. Doug called
yes,
us.
Yes, it was an action. Actually, in retrospect, it was an action-packed night.
Yeah, Doug at night is a different Doug than Doug during the day, which is good because I'd be concerned if Doug at night made an appearance during Doug at the day. That would indicate a little bit of an issue.
I don't know if Doug in the day is drunk anymore.
That's what I'm saying. So tonight is Make America Work Again night. Of course, you will hear from Dana White, the president of the UFC. Which is the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Governor Asa Hutchinson and Leslie Rutledge, some Attorney General people, are going to come talk about How Bill Clinton was a predator probably in Arkansas. I have no idea. Michael Mukasey will be here. He's horrible.
Wow, what a horrible human being.
Andy Wist. He founded the Standard Waterproofing Company.
You just don't get wet.
U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, perhaps the only guy at this convention not as bright as Mike Pence.
Yeah, I'll do it. Definitely. Primetime slot.
There'll be a professional golfer. There will be the executive director of the NRA Institute for Legislative Action, so the NRA lobbyist. Mitch McConnell will be with us. U.S. Speaker Paul Ryan. I don't know. I guess he's speaking tonight. He already did the nomination. They're just about to nominate Donald Trump officially right now. I don't know if we can see that. Do we have that three-camera shoot up? They are. They're about to do this. We're going to hear from Kevin McCarthy tonight.
Oh, Kevin McCarthy.
And Tiffany Trump. Kerry Woolard. Donald Trump Jr. will be speaking tonight. Dr. Ben Carson. This is going to be, and then, of course, Kimberlyn Brown, who I'm sure you're all waiting for. She's an actress, I think. Or an actor. I don't know. I have no idea who she is.
Actee.
Carson, obviously, the highlight of the night. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
How far away are we from Trump has 11:55. He needs 12:37, right? Is that what it is, or was that the Democratic one? 12:37? So we'll keep an eye on that. We have an interview with Fred, formerly from Khan College, IMs me to tell me that, honestly, until last night, I had no effing clue what or who Joni Loves Chachi was. Well, Chachi hit the airwaves this morning and got his hand. You know who doesn't love him? Tamron.
Brutal. Beautiful.
So, I think we may actually have to hold the Ryan Grimm because we don't want to step on. We have our correspondent calling in at 7:30 p.m., and we want to probably, I think, cover this nomination live. But, folks, let me just say that as you watch this, we try and make it as painful as painless as possible
less,
for you.
Less.
Right? I mean, it's very difficult to watch the Republican convention.
We don't add to the
without
pain.
Yeah. And but after you go through this, you're going to want to cleanse your mental palate. In other words, you've watched this gibberish. I mean, it's important gibberish because God knows what could happen to this this country, but you're going to want to spend some time watching, listening to something that's actually going to strengthen your mind. Wouldn't it be great to take a class in something that interests you or you're really passionate about? Great Courses Plus. Right now, my listeners can get 1 month free when they go to thegreatcoursesplus.com/majority. This is going to give you the opportunity to learn from the world's greatest professors and experts in their field. Contrast with what we're watching tonight. Experts in knowing nothing. People who plagiarize. And not just plagiarize from anybody, but plagiarize from essentially the person they think is like the world's greatest demon.
Wouldn't it be great to see the staff edits? Melania just comes and she goes, "But I'm not married to Barack."
Experts at National Geographic, the Smithsonian, you learn at your own pace, when you want, where you want. You can binge watch an entire college course over the weekend. How awesome is that? New subjects and lectures and professors are added every month. And I don't know why that you even need to do that because there's over 7,000 topics to choose on. You'd have to be like Matt, like a lifetime student.
Rain Man.
Yeah, oh. Well, I mean, he was in like graduate school. Weren't you in graduate school for like 43 years?
I was in grad school for 2 years.
Or 2 years.
You need
Callie was in graduate school too. She doesn't like it when I just congratulate Matt for staying in there. 7,000 topics: history, science, professional and personal stuff, development, health and fitness, nutrition, travel. Go to thegreatcoursesplus.com/majority. Sign up today for your 1 month free trial. It's a great deal. Go to thegreatcoursesplus.com/majority. Sign up today. That's thegreatcoursesplus.com/majority. We'll, of course, put that on the front page of majority.fm. Let's go to back to the convention. The Trump family seems to be triumphant. They've just crossed the threshold with New York's 95 delegates. Here we go. Turn that up, please.
Convention Center, in this very place where the Cleveland Cavaliers play.
And everyone said it couldn't happen. Shut up. Donald Trump and his family.
There you have it.
And it has come full circle. It has.
It certainly has come full circle, Brett Baer.
Let's listen.
In 2012, it was an open joke that Donald Trump was even doing well with Republican voters. A total joke, a laugh riot. People in the mainstream thought, ha, this is funny little quirk. It means nothing. It's not indicative of who the Republican Party is. But look at them now, folks. This is your modern Republican Party. They have nominated officially an odious, racist, dishonest. Now,
you're not talking about those Mitt adjectives, Romney, are you?
Those adjectives, yes, have not taken us past where we are. But a joke of a man who has no credentials to be president, no interest in policy. One, the Republican primary, by virtue of being able to insult the morons running against him.
A man who...
Now, I can say morons, because I'm not running for president. And because they're morons.
Because it's true. I mean, look, it's a fantastic point. A man whose greatest defense against the rumor that he kept the collected works of the speeches of Hitler next to his on his bedside table was that he doesn't read.
Right. Right.
So no way he could have read Hitler's speeches because does not have the attention.
I was
span.
Excited to see it, yeah. But I didn't.
I mean, he's a big league guy, but
yeah,
I'm not much of a reader.
League. Total big league.
I know the things he did with Germany. Boy, they were rough, but they were big league.
He was so big league.
So big league.
Now I'm trying to find that sheet of paper I had with the different. Different stations on it. Oh, here it is. Okay. Let's go check out. Let's see what we got on a different station. Fox, I'm shocked. They don't have anybody down there. Now, understand.
There's one thing I know about my father. He's never bet against him when he puts his mind to something.
There's Donald Trump Jr. or something to that effect.
You can't be the guy he is. You can't do what he's done without being able to do that. And
his kids really do remind me of the Romney kids.
Sure.
I have to say.
There's a little bit, little less humility, but I mean, that's to be expected.
Sure. Well, the same way that their dad.
Yeah. A lot of work. I mean, you know, we by de facto have gotten involved because we believe in his message, you know, meaning my siblings, myself, my whole family.
What is that message?
You know, we want him to do
build a
right
wall, black people bad.
We know he can do that. We want this country to be better for our kids than the way we received it. And that's not the way we're going, Dan.
Right. They received a very rough America.
Like Mitt Romney, though, the kids have not, like, whatever, as contemptible as he is, he does. I mean, undeniably, has a certain charisma. The kids, the sons don't have it at all.
No.
I haven't seen the daughters enough to know. I guess we'll find out tonight about one of them.
You know, what happens is when you grow up, like a little sapling grows up in shade. You turn the volume down on that.
Like a sapling in shade.
Now, a couple of things that you should know about tonight's convention. We should tell you that the norovirus apparently has struck many GOP staffers at the convention. So, now that's not nice to laugh about that.
Who's, sorry.
No, it's totally appropriate. I'm just saying it's not nice. But lack of appropriate of niceness is totally appropriate here. There's also, you know, when we signed off last night, there was the story of Melania Trump, who put that volume down just a little bit more. Melania Trump, who, of course, plagiarized from Michelle Obama's speech in 2008. Do we have any sound for these speeches? Yeah. Okay, so let's go into this. So last night, Melania Trump delivered what was, by all accounts, a very non-damaging speech for the Trump campaign. She was able to get through it. there was some concern. People didn't even focus on the fact that she had, that her trials and tribulations dealt with the runways of Milan in Paris. I mean,
very difficult times.
They're very difficult.
I also found it shocking when she said that Donald Trump had been worried about American jobs since the moment she met him. Sort of conjuring what that first conversation could have possibly been like.
Well, there was a lot of people who made the point when there was still like sort of analysis on the substance of the speech that the reason why you have your the wife or your husband to speak about you is to humanize you. To tell a story about that shows that you're a loving person, that you're a human person, you're an empathetic person, that you have feelings.
Big time empathetic.
Total big leak. But what struck me about that speech is Melania Trump could have given that speech. Like her husband could have been anybody. It could have been me. It could have been you. It could have been Matt. It could have been Kelly. And it all would have applied.
But not
it was
Barack
so
Obama
generic.
Because he is black. And
right.
I don't know.
But
we
it all would have
this.
Applied.
Yes.
In fact, no. You're wrong.
Yeah, well, except
in
it was literally stolen.
Michael says, but not Barack Obama. No, in fact, yes, specifically Barack Obama, because these words, which we're going to play, we're now going to compare Melania and Michelle's speeches. And when Michelle Obama gave this speech in 2008, it was about Barack Obama. And so Melania... I don't know. We don't know how she got these words in her speech. Trump won't tell us. But here, you decide. Is this plagiarism or just coincidence?
And Barack and I were raised with so many of the same values. Like, you work hard for what you want in life.
The values that you work hard for what you want in life.
That your word is your bond, that you do what you say you're going to do.
That your word is your bond, and you do what you say and keep your promise.
You're doing
that it. You treat people with dignity and respect.
That you treat people with respect.
Because we want our children and all children in this nation to know that the only limit to the height of your achievements is the reach of your dreams and your willingness to work hard for them.
Because we want our children in this nation to know that the only limit to your achievements is the strength of your dreams and your willingness to work for them.
Now, that's something you say in common discourse. So I don't know why that's just... I mean, it seems to me it could very well be a coincidence that two first ladies giving a potential would-be first ladies give that same speech 8 years apart.
Couldn't
I
you
mean,
see Melania in the first prep session be like, why did it say I'm married to Barack?
Now, this guy who's on CNN right now, this guy Andy Dean, last night I watched him after I got home last night at 1 a.m. Say like, oh, this may not be a big deal. He's a Trump surrogate. This may not be a big deal, blah, blah, blah. And then he went back and it's like, they actually handed him the transcript and he goes, no comment. And so, so the real question becomes,
that's so great.
How did this get into her speech? And there's been a lot of speculation. Now, of course, she told Matt Lauer that she wrote most of the speech with a little help of the handlers. Let me tell you something. A professional speechwriter would have never done this. In fact, that's like the primary job that you get from speechwriter, professional speechwriter, is to borrow themes from the past, but not to plagiarize. Because if you plagiarize from someone from 8 years ago, it's going to get found out. If you plagiarize from someone that you have built your entire campaign and almost your entire political career on demonizing, it's going to come out and it's going to look bad.
Yeah, maybe so.
So as a speechwriter, you don't do that. Now, there was a story today that perhaps it was a guy, Brian Scully, who they had contracted to do this about, you know, a long time ago. And he wrote the first draft. Now, I will tell you the first thing that I thought of when I thought it was my story when I was in high school, when my dad found a joint in my house after he'd gone away and I had had a party. And he confronted me with it. And the first thing he said, did you have anybody over this weekend? I said, yes. A guy named Jimmy Sullivan.
Yes, Jimmy Sullivan. He who has written my speech. This is Jimmy Sullivan. It is the same man.
And it was a guy I did not know that well. And I just said, that kid, first of all, he's never coming here again, which was an easy promise for me to make unbeknownst to my dad
campaign again.
Because he didn't exist.
I don't know. But Donald has such a big heart. He hired him, but no more he coming.
Jimmy Sullivan, the two times he's ever made this show were from the time that he didn't exist and smoked a joint in my house and left it there, and then went on to write Melania Trump's speech. Now, here's the thing. It could be Jared Kushner, the son-in-law, who has written some speeches. He could have done it.
That's sort of the palace.
There's some people
theory.
Who think. There's some people who think that maybe this was some type of
that
sabotage.
Ivanka set her up. That's
perhaps we'll get to that in a minute. Or it could be just that she actually did write part of her speech, or that Trump did, and they just thought nobody's going to notice because they're not terribly. They're not paying attention. I mean, Trump was on the phone with Fox during half of the convention speeches last night anyways, competing against his own convention. Here's the thing. Just ask yourself, if you were going to be potentially first lady and you had to give a speech, what would be the first thing you would do?
Probably consult Michelle Obama's previous speeches and plagiarize them.
Not just Michelle Obama. I would go back and I would look at all of the last, let's say, 5-10 modern era speeches by these people.
I wish she had plagiarized Mitt Romney's wife. Donald Trump, love women.
Yeah. So there. So
I like them very much. I don't. Mama, we
I don't know. But what's fascinating about this is that you have mainstream pundits. They're focused on this like they've never been focused on anything. The whole night could be full of racism,
yes.
Full of trying to scare people, authoritarianism, lies, and half-truths. And they were like, well, it was delivered well. But this is a process story.
It was delivered well.
This is a process story, so they can actually embrace it. And so this story is going to live on for a while, and it's going to be interesting to see. The Trump people are not going to back down because they can't fire Jared Kushner, and they can't come out, and so they're just going to deny. Fascinating.
Wait a second. I just got a tweet. I can't believe no one's ever put this together. It's John Miller.
I think there's somebody at the door.
Except,
I think
we're
anticipating Tara Devlin, who has worked with Mike Malloy. I think she's going to come be our studio audience tonight.
Wait a second. Maybe
she likes Chinese food.
Maybe it's not John Miller because
she
Trump
is.
Trump loves John Miller because Don Miller is Trump. So couldn't it be him?
I think John.
I think it's possible. I think Donald Trump could have possibly been the one who, in fact, wrote the speech. But we don't know. Now, look, there's another story. There's another story here that perhaps it was some type of sabotage. That perhaps it's possible that. Maybe Jared Kushner, maybe Ivanka Trump. Who's the daughter?
The daughter, Ivanka.
Ivanka.
I believe it's. Is it Ivanka or Ivana? I actually don't know. Matt, do you know?
The daughter.
Ivanka. The daughter.
Doesn't
the
like
daughter that
the
Trump crushes on.
Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't like the mother-in-law, the mother, the stepmom. And so wanted to throw her under the bus. Okay? Maybe they didn't want her to even. They don't want Donald Trump to win. Who knows? And the reason, the basis for this theory is not just the fact that they plagiarized from Michelle Obama. It's that Melania Trump rickrolled people. Now, what does that mean? If you're not familiar with the internet narratives and memes, rickrolling is based on that Rick Astley song.
Yes.
And it goes something like, never going to let you go.
Don't interrupt
never
Sam
give
when
you
he's embarrassing
up.
Himself
Never going
like
to let you down. Yes. I'm not embarrassing myself. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a great singer.
No, you're not embarrassing yourself. Keep going. Excuse me.
Never going to give you up. Never going to let you down. Now, and so basically what happens is like there was an internet meme like you click on it. You think you're getting something else and you end up getting that Rick Astley song. Well, here is Melania Trump last night. Rickrolling the GOP convention. They think they're going to get plagiarized Michelle Obama, but in fact, they get this.
give up. And most importantly, he will never, ever let you down.
Do we have the song? We have the song queued up for this.
She now, goes, she goes to Ivana like, thank you for your help.
Wait a
thank
second.
Thank you so much.
You got to turn up my phone. I think, hello?
Hello?
Oh, is this...
Hello.
Kathy?
It's Kathy. It's Kathy.
Oh, all right. Kathy. Thank gosh. Thank gosh. We, it's, it, folks...
Samuel,
it's,
Samuel. You have to help me.
What?
Samuel.
Are you okay? Are you...
No, I'm not okay. I'm stuck in a pipe.
I'm sorry, you're stuck in a pipe?
Stuck in a pipe below the Cleveland steamer of a convention.
You're stuck in a pipe below the Cleveland steamer of a convention?
I've been here since... I've been here all night.
Wait. What happened? You were covering the convention for us.
The plumber came down to try and fix the toilet, but he broke it more.
Wait a second. So
he broke it more.
When did this happen? When did the Joseph the plumber come to? I don't understand. Oh, let me just catch people up. We're talking to nearly Senator Catherine Harris. She was the Secretary of State in Florida when George Bush stole the election.
Yeah. Everybody knows all that, Samuel. I'm in dire straits, and I'm not talking about that wonderful band from the 80s who want their MTV. I'm in dire straits in the most literal and figurative sense of the word.
But wait a second. I don't understand. How did you get stuck into a pipe? Who left you there?
Okay, here's what happened. So Joseph the plumber broke it more, the toilet I'm referring to, and then I realized I didn't want to be stuck in that small room they put me in to be on watch for John Kasich.
Okay.
And so he said, why don't you try crawling up through that ceiling pipe to try and get out? And now I'm stuck. I'm half stuck.
Well, that's...
It's my Kasich kazoo. And I've been trying to signal people to come help me, and nobody... wants to help me. I have two kazoos. One works better than the purple one works better.
So wait a second. But I mean, to a certain extent, you know, let's be fair. You're crying wolf here. Kasich is not coming. Blowing the kazoo now is not, it's not appropriate.
Well, I was hoping they'd come find me thinking that John Kasich was here, but nobody has come. So then I texted Marcus and he said that maybe if I look for the Pray the Gay Away sessions that sometimes take place underneath things and in darkened areas in the Greco-Roman style, I might be able to find someone. But no one's here, Sam, and I'm so scared I'm going to get the Zika virus.
Well, the Zika virus I wouldn't worry about, but there is apparently a norovirus going around, and if you're in a toilet pipe, I gotta tell you.
I don't know if it's a pipe. That's a toilet pipe. It's just a ceiling pipe. Would you call Marcus for me?
Call Marcus Bachman.
Yes, I can give you his number.
Okay.
Are you ready? Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Murray Hill 7.
Hill 7. Murray Hill 7.
Murray Hill 7.
Yeah.
44424.
I don't know how to dial the Murray Hill Exchange. I don't know how to do that.
All right, we'll try this then. Klondike 5.
Klondike 5.
28-2.
Is this do I use this on a regular phone, or is this?
This is from the 50s, Sam. All the Republicans are walking the walk like they talk it. We're going back to the 1950s, as Mike Pence would want us to do when people had exchanges like Murray Hill 7. You remember I Love Lucy?
Well, no, yes, I do, but I don't have a phone that functions that way. I mean, how did you call me today?
Figure it out, Sam. You're the technocrat. What are you, too busy reading your back issues of Ha-Aretz?
Ha-Aretz? to know. I there's no reason to make an issue of the fact that I'm Jewish when you're talking about
me. Well, you're sitting around reading your
Well, I'm not
thinking about your second home in Tel Aviv.
I don't have a second home in Tel Aviv. I've
at Haifa.
Well, no, not Haifa. I have no home in Israel. I mean,
Bethlehem.
No, not Bethlehem. No,
Hebron.
No, not Hebron. No, not
old city of Jerusalem.
No, I don't. I don't. What has that got to do with the fact that I don't know how to connect with Klondike Five Exchange?
Because you're sitting around doing that instead of trying to help your old friend Kathy.
Well, I want to help you.
All I've had to eat was half a Cliff Bar and some Gorp.
Well, it's good that you had Gorp on you.
Good old raisins and peanuts.
Now, can I ask you, have you been following the news at all? Are you aware what happened last night?
No, I'm stuck in a pipe. Dig the potatoes out of your ears.
Well, no, I
can't follow anything. I'm stuck in a pipe.
The only
alerts I keep getting from Marcus are about whatever happened last night on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, and So You Think You Could Dance.
Well, I don't know what happened with those, but during the convention, Melania Trump plagiarized Michelle Obama, and it's become the big story of the day.
Plagiarized, smagiarized. It's just platitudes, like everybody says. You might as well get a rhyming dictionary, for that matter, and write a song like John Mayer Riots or something. It's just like verbal dust, Sam. It's verbal dust. Everybody says the same thing.
Verbal
Although,
dust?
I heard about Benghazi. I heard there was a film about Benghazi that would make Michael Bay blush.
Had you not been aware of Benghazi?
No, but there's a new film. Apparently there's all kinds of new avenues they've gone down to blow the lid off Benghazi yet again.
So wait a second. So
you know what we gotta blow the lid off? It's Chipotle. We got to build a wall, Sam, around Chipotle, giving decent Americans food poisoning.
Wait a second. So you want to build a wall around Chipotle? Is that going to come up tonight?
They keep trying to poison Americans.
Well, I mean, they did have some issues with E. coli, but I don't know. Building a wall Well, I don't know that. I don't know that building a wall is the best way to address that. You could just.
Well, it's the only way. There's still crowds, Sam. I don't understand it. You walk past the Chipotle to this day, it's still crowded. What does it say from an anthropological point of view about the people inside? Are they risk takers? Do they have Stockholm syndrome, low self-esteem? Are they trying to lose weight? What is it, Sam?
Well, I got to say, a lot of people who are stuck in an air vent in
a pipe. It's a pipe.
Well,
it's
in a pipe, I think
I should be so lucky.
Wouldn't have their wits about them to, be speculating about why people continue to patronize Chipotle.
But on my mind, because sometimes when I take a walk, I'll walk past that Chipotle that doesn't have a wall around it yet. And I wonder why those decent Americans are in there. They must be liberals or something like that. I don't know.
Why would liberals...
Could you send maybe... Sam, could one of those young people that work with you send a Romy selfie drone maybe to the pipe?
A Romy selfie drone? A what?
Those drones that you could buy from Best Buy now that take pictures of you. It's a selfie drone. It's taken the selfie stick to a whole new next-gen level.
But how would a selfie drone in any way help you get out
It'll
of that?
It'll take a picture of me stuck in here.
Well, if you have a phone, why don't you take a picture of it and send it to me?
Yes, but my battery is low and no one will pick up. For some reason, no one will return Kathy Harris's call.
I'm shocked to hear that.
And it was just Marcus.
So where is Marcus? Why isn't Marcus Bachman responding to your...
Well, he's bedridden. I told you about his Pokemon Go accident that he had at the Ass and Chap, which was not Pokemon Go at all.
Right. No, he had a...
He got mugged and he also was gassed.
Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that that was still ongoing, that he was still recovering.
Oh, can you? He did tell me about Antonio Sabato Jr., who used to be on his stories. Marcus used to love his stories during the daytime.
Wait,
the daytime drama.
Antonio Sabato Jr. had stories during the daytime drama?
No, what? He used to be on General Hospital or some such thing that Marcus used to love.
And but you missed that speech.
He spoke last night, I heard.
Oh, yes, he did. Yeah. And today he had, he said he was convinced that Barack Obama is a Muslim.
Yes, of course he was, because he is.
Well, now, how do you say something like that?
Because I only deal with the truth and I deal with facts. He's a secret Muslim. And Hillary Clinton is a witch. Wah, wah, wah.
What? Wait, I'm sorry.
I'm still excited about that. Wah, wah, wah.
But why are you adding that wah, wah, wah? I don't understand. You think Hillary Clinton's
That's
a real...
That's what Chachi used to say. Last night I was saying wah, wah, wee, wah. I was bringing a little bow rat into it.
Oh, I see.
My wife was going to speak, Melania.
Oh, I see. So you...
But it's wah, wah, wah.
Wah, wah, wah was the Chachi thing? Now, I don't know if you...
Well, oh, my God, Samuel, do you not know anything? We're going back to the 1950s.
Well, but now, you may not know this, but Chachi or Scott Baio was on with Tamron Hall today. In fact, here, if you want to hear it, we can play it for you. Scott Baio was on with Tamron Hall. And was being grilled about his social media usage. It's a 4-minute clip. I mean, do you have time? I mean, I don't know if you have any other things to do.
What are you still talking for? Would you play the clip for gosh sake?
Okay, this is Scott Baio on with Tamron Hall getting grilled about his social media.
Kind of hypocrisy there. When you have people who say, I don't want something free for the other guy, but I want things that started out as socialist ideas for myself. And that's within your own party.
Well, Social Security was started by FDR, who was a Democrat. Yeah. And what I've read about all that is that was done for votes.
Everything is done for votes. You and I both know
yes,
that.
Yes, right.
Right.
But Social Security needs to be fixed. But for somebody to just get
Donald
Security,
Trump says he's not touching it.
Listen, you can't. Nobody's perfect, Tamron.
Yeah.
If I were president, the only guy I agree with 100% of the time is me, and I have all the answers. But I don't agree with Mr. Trump on everything. Yeah. I don't agree with George Bush on everything. I don't agree with you or my wife on everything. But I just think there are certain things that instead of looking to government. Just try to do for yourself. My father went broke when
should
I was a kid.
Should we end Medicare, for example? I mean, should we abolish Medicare?
In my opinion, everything should, and I don't have the fix, but everything that's going broke needs to be fixed. Whether it becomes, I think Social Security should be privatized. I think healthcare should be private. I don't think it should be government running it. Mm-hmm. I think the private sector will take care of everything in this country.
Let's talk about your speech. I know you said you went to church and you've talked about your religion. One of the things that caught my eye was this tweet that you sent out July 10th, a photo of Hillary Clinton standing in front of the word count. Mm-hmm. The O is blocking, so it appears that mm-hmm. she's standing in front of the C word.
Right.
Did you think about that in church when
just
you tweeted
offered,
it out?
That's just offered up without commentary. That was just put up.
Yeah, but
there
you,
was
know what it, you know what it meant when you tweeted it out.
I just put it up there.
I guess I'm asking, you know, you're writing your speech in church. You talk about religion coming back to this country and us right. having a moral barometer. Where was your moral compass when you put a photo of a woman that you disagree with politically, and that's
right.
fine. But would
Tamron,
you
can look at
that
any way you want. It's the word count. That's what she's standing in front of. I just put it up there. There's no commentary attached to it. I didn't call her anything. And the fact that you question my faith by putting up a picture is
I'm just
not
asking,
nice.
Well, you've questioned others' faith.
When
you say we need to bring back religion, implying that somehow the moral compass for people that you don't even know is shaped. But let me throw this out to you. 2010, you tweeted out an unflattering image of Michelle Obama with the caption, "Wow, he wakes up to this every morning."
Right.
Last night, clearly some people agree with you. But last night, I went on social media to see what you were saying about your speech, and I realized that you blocked me. Why did you block me from social media? I'm just curious.
That might have been a mistake.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't have blocked you. That might have been a mistake.
Well, it's okay if you do, but I was wondering if it was because of the Michelle Obama tweet.
It was a mistake. No. Absolutely not. Okay. I'm not afraid of anybody.
All right.
That tweet was a joke. Tamron, I'm a guy from Brooklyn. I have a certain sense of humor. I sit with my buddies and we smoke cigars and we make jokes
about.
But
does joking about a woman that way make America great again? Does that
make America again?
It's
a joke about a woman yelling at her husband. We talk about, my wife did this. All my wife is breaking my chops today.
But that wasn't about your wife. That was about the first lady.
But we do it about everybody's wife. I do it about my friend's wife. I do it about all politicians'
wives. But you put it out on social media. I guess my point is, I agree with you. We should all want to be better people, to teach our children to be better people. But let me finish. I agree with you. You have children. I'm not a parent, but I see how this may or may not affect our divisiveness. There are white people here, hey. Black people here, hey.
Right.
When we tweet things out that are so ugly, and then we say, it was a joke.
So, Senator Catherine Harris.
He's wonderful, and he's so intellectual. And he's quite right. That's Harris, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, 1936, from the podium in Philadelphia, where the Democrats are going to have a convention again, which will be just another load of cream cheese. But in 1936, in his acceptance speech, that terrorist, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who I think is a secret Muslim, talked about the New Deal and the nanny state and Social Security. You know, if Scott Baio says it, you can believe it.
So wait a second.
He's a guy from Brooklyn.
Near Senator Catherine Harris.
He sits on a couch with his buddies and smokes cigars.
Reporting
things like
to
man
us
cave.
From
man cave.
Below.
You know what I mean? He's really the real deal. He's a real American from Brooklyn.
Reporting to us from below the convention floor in Cleveland, stuck in a pipe that... Joseph the plumber
yes. broke the
Let me
toilet
just,
more.
So what you're saying is that Scott...
That's my kazoo. It's
no,
my
I know. That's your kazoo
Can
that you were given
me?
To warn people if John Kasich showed up at the convention. But you're suggesting that Scott... That FDR was a secret Muslim... That Scott Baio
yes, of course, any fool knows
is an intellectual.
Everybody's known it since 1936.
But what do you say about the idea that Scott Baio is trying to basically create some type of voice of authority because he's so church-going, yet he's sending out a tweet where at the best-case scenario, it's pretty juvenile that Hillary Clinton was standing in front of the O and the remaining letters spelt out the word C-U-N-T. I mean, come on.
It's just an acronym for See You Next Tuesday. What are you not getting about that? See You Next Tuesday, big deal. That's all it means.
Well, Senator Catherine...
And also, Sam, do I have to say it again? He's just a guy from Brooklyn. His father almost went broke that one time a long time ago. And he has smoked cigars. He may have even been perhaps in a magazine called Cigar Aficionado. You're going to argue with that? Come on.
Senator Harris, not even close.
Kathy, call me Kathy. Also, I'm starving, Samuel. Will you call Marcus,
all right,
please?
Look, listen. Right now, Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, is on the floor. We're going to cut to him. Do you want to check back in with us? Do you want to listen to it, or do you want to call us back
he
later?
He probably fit in this pipe to come get me.
Sorry, what?
He could probably fit in the pipe to come get me. He's so thin.
Okay, well, all right. Well, if you want to hang with us, you can listen to the speech. Otherwise, you can call us back. Would be great, too.
I may call you back, but I don't know... Sam, please call Marcus Klondike 5.
Okay, Klondike 5. Klondike 5, I got it. Don't worry.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Senator.
Okay, hello.
Near Senator Catherine Harris. Let's listen to Paul Ryan.
Okay, hello.
He's just sort of looking around. He seems like he's lost.
With Speaker Ryan, that is interesting. Senator McConnell will be there as well. And we're going to hear from senators, 10 freshman senators. And it's so interesting.
Paul Ryan is just sitting up there looking around, wants to spend sort of saying, like, how can I pretend like I'm actually enjoying myself here as opposed to being terrified? All right, I'm going to step away, grab some Chinese food in honor of Make America Work Again night. This food's from China. China. And Michael just hold the fort.
Catherine Harris. Amazing. I hope. I can only hope that right-wing Mandela will have that type of resiliency. I think most people have no idea who Catherine Harris is at this point, which actually in some ways makes it even funnier.
Yeah, the funny thing is leading off our live stream with this, yeah. You have a bunch of people who don't normally listen to the show on the live stream. Like, I don't know who this is. Who is this woman? Is she for real?
That's right.
She is.
Paul Ryan attempting to circle a square here. Let's see how well he does. Now officially confirming the nomination of a man who he said had made comments were fit the objective definition of racism. Looking very alfalfa-like.
I'm digging the set. I think they did get that right.
They got the set. What was the set like? Was the same? I don't remember what we called the set last night. It's a little different. Oh, there's a problem with the mic.
There's a technical difficulty.
Oh, wow.
Looks like.
They're having a majority report experience on the floor of the convention.
To contest the vote that Alaska cast as it was recorded by the secretary. It was misrecorded by the secretary. We cast 12 votes for Senator Ted Cruz, 11 Cruz votes for Donald Trump, and 5 votes for Marco Rubio.
So there's a correction
to the Alaska,
from the
state of Alaska. Rules for our Republican
Alaska
Party.
Delegation.
100% of our delegation agrees with that is the proper vote. We were never notified of anything.
Oh, this is an actual problem.
We were never consulted. Our national committee people weren't consulted.
No. There's a problem with the Alaska delegation's allocation tonight. Of their votes. They're angry.
The gentleman will suspend.
Yes. Reince Priebus is chewing on gum, looking anxious.
He's really chewing that stuff.
He's just saying, I'm just got a beat on this friggin' Joe Camel.
Nicotine gum.
I need some more Bazooka Joe. Trying to follow it. They say that their delegation's votes were not accurately recorded, and they're pissed. And Paul Ryan is attempting to assuage them immediately and get the show back on the road. I don't know who the guy next to
Is doing what everyone knows. You don't even do at a job interview in front of the entire country.
Reince always chews gum. That's part of his brand. Reince pounds on the Bazooka Joes.
Speaks pretty well to the brand.
It's got to be nicotine gum, right?
Yeah, totally. The recording secretary they're explaining this. It as all the delegates for Donald Trump. And now the Alaska delegation is saying that is not how our
I see. So they're saying when it was first recorded, all the delegates were for Trump. Not accurate. There is, I believe, 11 for Cruz and 5, I think, for Rubio. Operate. And they want that properly registered. Cruz got some, Trump got
some. And, now yeah, I believe the guy said 12 for Cruz, 11 for Trump, and then 5 for Rubio.
You know, the
versus
value
all for Trump.
The value of something like this, from our perspective, as liberals, as progressives, is that one of the things that really. What is that? Your music? Where's that music? Is that coming
from
the
TV
convention?
Convention.
Well, keep that up.
Look,
that is
put on the friggin' Motown music. We gotta figure this out.
But it's knockoff.
Yeah, well, of course, it's the Republican National Convention. The guy who sang the song might actually be a Republican. This is the type of guy.
This is Earth, Wind, and Fire, a knockoff Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yes, and now the second lead singer of the Earth, Wind, and Fire cover band that was popular on the Div 3 college circuit in the 1980s is here to endorse Donald Trump. He's also our Senate candidate.
There's an interesting dynamic here because it is apparent that America is not rejecting, or I should say, a significant amount of America. A large part of America still is, but there's still a significant amount of America who's like, all right, he's a fascist, but he's competent. And we want the trains to run on time. So stuff like this, actually, I think, has an outsized impact on at least the narrative that the media...
Say it hurts the core brand proposition.
That's not what I'm saying, but that is,
no?
I think, probably something very similar to that. I would never say it that way because I don't even know what that means. But
oh, really? You give yourself too little credit. You don't understand that? What's going on with you, Sam?
I don't think I've ever made the combination of words compromise the core brand proposition. I'm quite convinced I've never said those words. But yes, it compromises the core brand proposition.
Doesn't it sound good?
I mean, it makes me fearful for America that that's the best thing that we can say.
Sam said we couldn't use the word pub anymore to mean publish, but he thought we meant publicity.
Exactly.
No, I meant, I knew.
I did know.
Oh, okay.
No, I knew that publish, but I was making a joke to Kelly subsequent to that.
All right, let's get back to the core brand proposition that's being undermined.
And that is that Donald Trump can make the trains run on time. That was the one thing they said about the
core brand proposition.
The fascists.
Their core brand proposition.
They could at least make the trains run on time. And I think that was in Italy, where
that was
the
Muslim,
trains
yes.
famously don't run on time.
Well, as we were saying the other day, Matt and I were, though, were gaming this out. Trump's game would be like, I never gave them a schedule. Kept them guessing. I don't want to tell you when the trains are coming. I don't want to give you that information. I don't know. They could come in 5 minutes. They could come in 3 hours.
But this looks pretty bad that they can't even do some, like they can't even do the bunting.
Well, I think that they thought when they sort of shut everything down yesterday that it had all sort of been put behind them in the afternoon.
In fact, let's turn to MSNBC because I'm quite convinced. I don't even know if Chris Matthews is on, but that's what he would be saying if it were on. And he, for me, is like
much more like Democrats back in the day. You
know, what would he be?
Yeah, now they're saying
like Democrats.
These guys are in total disarray, like Democrats, which of course is their way of making sure that they don't get be perceived as being in any way biased against the fascists.
President by the Republican Party, he took over one of our two major parties and bent it to his will, and he is going to be
dance so everything seems fine. Two major
candidates. Yeah, but Eugene Robinson's still kind of playing.
We haven't even played Ryan Grimm, have we?
No.
All right, let's. We're going to take a break from the convention until they get their act together. There's drama on the floor as Alaska contests its vote. We're going to play this interview that I did with Ryan Grimm just about an hour and a half ago. He is in Cleveland. Let's go to that now. We're back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report on the phone. Washington Bureau Chief of the Huffington Post, Ryan Grimm. He is in Cleveland as we speak. Ryan, what's happening with the protests outside of the convention hall? Anything?
Not much. I mean, the stories about Chicago 68 being repeated are going to need corrections. So far, there's still a lot of talk that, well, maybe at some point over this week there's going to be a lot. The protests are going to really heat up. I don't see how that happens. I don't know why. If you were planning on coming to Cleveland, you're not already here.
Right.
I think this is kind of it.
What about the concerns? And A, do you think or have you seen any of open carry groups? A. B, do you think that, frankly, people were a little nervous about there being open carry groups there?
Yeah, I haven't seen much of it. I mean, I haven't. Oh, I weirdly just am seeing Dennis Kucinich walk past. He's not protesting though. He's wearing a suit, and he is not openly carrying, maybe concealed, but not openly. No, I mean, I haven't seen a lot of that either. You know, I heard a lot of that too. There's going to be your Second Amendment crew. There's going to be the new Black Panthers, and there's going to be the cops. The cops are certainly openly carrying, and they're out an intimidating force. But none of the other stuff is really coming to fruition.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about last night. Where were you when this whole plagiarism thing started to break? Because I'm curious as to, like, what was the sense in the convention hall or wherever you were about, out and about, as to how the first night had gone? And then talk about how it sort of that perspective changed once it became clear that Melania Trump was reading off of at least partially Michelle Obama's speech from 8 years ago.
I was at the CNN grill, which is that's where I was watching the speeches. It's the most delightful thing you've ever seen, and it's absurd. I don't know why CNN does it. They basically rent an entire bar and restaurant, and everything in it is free. It's like your communist utopia.
Wait, do you have to be media for that, or how do you get in there?
Yeah, you have to be kind of in the media, but yeah, we're their competitors. I'm sitting there wondering why, like, a waiter is coming up to me and giving me beers and feeding me on CNN's dime. It, like, makes no sense, but that's where I was, and it was rippling through there. Like, once it became clear that she had plagiarized it, and, you know, plagiarism is one thing, it's kind of funny. The fact that it was Michelle Obama is right. What just really just made it land with such a bam. So yeah, it was pretty immediate. As soon as a guy out in San Diego in the Starbucks, you know, noticed it, people started putting the clips together, the next 24 hours are gone.
Well, wait, what were people saying about the convention beforehand? Because, I mean, I saw some of the we were doing our live coverage, but we were just basically watching C-SPAN. And there were times where I found, like, Rudy Giuliani seemed to be off his meds or sort of slipping into another era mm-hmm. of his life. There were other times when the 13 Hours guys were up there where I was like, this is about as much of a disaster as you could want at the sort of, like, peak prime time to have these guys riffing for 35 minutes. And, like, people in the audience looked like they were, like, they, like the full 13 hours were going to be played out. And so I'm curious, you know, but afterwards I saw the commentary and most of the sort of the establishment figures were saying stuff like, this was fantastic. And then, you know, the plagiarism, but what was the sense on the ground of people, or at least in the press, that you got from how people were ingesting the first night before, you know, pre-plagiarism?
Well, our reporters who were in the arena were saying that it was stunningly empty. Like, when Joni Ernst was was up on stage, it was maybe like 1/5. So it's like just, you know, just waves of empty seats. And Donald Trump, you know, famously at his rallies demands that the camera people pan around and, you know, show the massive crowd that's there to adore him. That massive crowd was not in the arena. I'm sure they'll be there Thursday for his speech, but it definitely reflects a lot of ambivalence that is present here.
Right. And what was your sense? I mean, did you you didn't watch any of the speeches, did you? You were just in the CNN grill partying, weren't you? I mean, if you're going to get in trouble by saying that, don't say it. But
what was that?
I was suggesting that even though Huffington Post has sent you out there, that you didn't actually watch any of the convention. You were just at the CNN grill, but if you'd rather not say that on it,
that's what I'm going to do next time.
You're just going to go to the grill.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Do you give me your sense of this? Like, it seems to me that the press, for the most part, right? I mean, Huffington Post is obviously different. I mean, you guys have a sort of an addendum on every piece that you write about Trump, that he's a liar and et cetera, et cetera. But in the main, and I guess I'm talking mostly cable news, it seems to me like they can't muster up the will or the energy to say, like, wow, almost all of this was about race. It was just a little bit more submerged than Trump usually makes it. A lot of it was about sort of triggering, you know, this sort of some type of latent fear in Americans about stuff that they really shouldn't be worried about. They don't seem to be able to bring themselves to talk about that. But when you talk about process, which, you know, theoretically you could drop, someone who has no interest in American politics whatsoever down into, parachute them in, they can look at the plagiarism and that becomes sort of the big disqualifier.
Yeah, I think it becomes hard for reporters to, when people put on a tie and they get up on in front of a podium and they address thousands of people and it gets broadcast and there's the fancy background. It feels real and it feels like something that is serious and needs to be treated with seriousness and serious things are not racist things, you know, by the media's understanding of our political culture. And so it's just very hard to peel it back and say, wow, this is just a bunch of 1972 race baiting going on here.
Right.
The other problem is that it's not new. You know, they've been doing it now for a couple months, whereas the plagiarism is new. And also hilarious. So they're like, oh, we're on that.
So wait, what are the different theories that you're hearing about what happened, right? I mean, because if it was, I just noticed there was a story that they were pointing out, they were saying that, well, a couple of months ago, a guy named, I think it was Brian Scully, was contracted to write the first draft. And as soon as I heard that, that just reminded me of the time that my dad found a joint in my house. You know, when he was away, and I blamed it on Jimmy Sullivan, who was, of course, a fictional character, who I said, like, I barely know that guy, and I'm never going to let him back in the house. I mean, the idea of this, like, Brian Scully sounds almost identical to that. But what do you think? I mean, what are you hearing? What are people speculating as to how that happened?
I'll tell you. I mean, either it was deliberate, and there's some self-sabotage, which is, given the vipers in the Trump campaign, that you cannot completely rule that out. But I think I know how it happened. I think whoever was writing the speech went and found the addresses of the wives of candidates like Romney and McCain and Obama and put them all into a Google Doc or a Word doc, read through them to get ideas for crafting Melania's speech. And you got to be careful with those documents because you forget which paragraphs of Pablum are yours and which paragraphs of Pablum have been used before. And if you don't have a good system in place, you're going to make a mistake. The way that other campaigns deal with this is that they check stuff. You know, they run it through software or they have other people look at it, and so. But the Trump campaign is extremely lean, as you could say. So they don't have anybody looking over the person's shoulder. So I think that's what happened. It was like a Google Doc paragraph that kind of got just, you know, over a series of drafts that just kind of seeps its way into your own writing. And there it is.
And why haven't they found that person and fired them? And do you think it's A, someone that they can't fire, or B, they don't want to show any weakness because after all, they could just go out there and just say, well, we don't know what you're talking about anyways.
Yeah, you're right. It shows weakness. It accepts responsibility when their line right now is that they didn't do anything wrong. Twilight Sparkle uses the word dream. So what if Melania also used it? Other possibility is that it was Jared Kushner, maybe, who helped write it. You can't fire your brother and, you know, your son-in-law. Now, he and Melania don't speak, really, so maybe, you know, it doesn't mean they couldn't have written a speech for her. Maybe Corey Lewandowski wrote it, just as a favor to Melania, because they get along well. You can't fire somebody you've already fired. So, I think there's a bunch of different possibilities.
Wait a second. So Jared and Melania do not speak?
Not really. I think Ivanka and Melania speak, but from my understanding, it's Jared and Melania basically don't.
Wow.
And then, and they're certainly not right now.
Yeah, I would imagine if he was involved in writing that. Now, what about the Rickrolling? Did you see that?
I actually, that did jump out at me. I didn't.
We should just explain. Tell people what Rickrolling is. I mean, because I don't know if people really fully know what that means.
Yeah, it's when you think you're going to get one thing and instead you get Rick Astley. And, you know, here she is. She's giving a normal speech and she comes to the line and says, you know, Donald Trump is never going to give up. And he's never, ever going to let you down. You know, I was waiting for the kind of synthesizer drum beat to follow. That was the greatest moment I think I've ever seen at a convention.
Do you, I mean, God, it would be so awesome to just have, I mean, I guess we'll find out ultimately, right? I mean, unless it's Jared who did this, somebody's going to write about it. Right, I mean, it could have been a dare. I mean, there's been times where, like, I've gone on TV and somebody will text me, say, you know, say meatballs so that my seven-year-old enjoys it. And I try and work meatballs into my political commentary or something like that. I can't help but think, like, maybe that was part of it. Somebody's just like, I want to see if I can get away with this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was put in there on purpose. That's just too rich. Somebody was playing a prank.
So, what? It's so awesome, except for the part that he may end up being president. What about tonight? We've got Tiffany and Donald Jr. speaking. What can you tell us about? Tiffany seemed to be sitting in her own sort of section last night. Do they not get along? What's going on with this? Who is Tiffany?
No, I think that, you know, how well do they get along? I think she was extremely bothered that Chris Christie wasn't picked and felt like the kids kind of railroaded their father into picking this boring Mike Pence guy. And so that's playing out in fun ways, intense ways. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm looking forward to this continuing to play out.
It's a lot of, like, literally palace intrigue.
Yeah, so fun.
And then we're going to hear from somebody from the Trump winery. I guess that's about how, like, black people have it so easy and white people are oppressed. Is that what they do at the Trump winery?
You're breaking up again. Say that again.
The Trump winery. Is that basically where they just complain that black people have it too easy?
Oh, God. Yes, that's insane. Like, finding the black people that they know and putting them on stage. It's just, it's so offensive.
All right. So what else can you tell us? I mean, any other thing that we should know about from your vantage point? Paul Ryan is now hit the stage right now as we speak. Oh, we lost him. All right. Well, that was Ryan Grimm. And, well, now I guess what we'll do is we'll watch a little bit of Paul Ryan, and then we'll talk about it in real time tonight when our coverage starts.
Speakers went too long. They overscheduled their 10 o'clock hour. Now they're delayed here in the start, which, of course, is only going to create a traffic jam. And they may end up having somebody of significance.
We are back on our coverage. Chuck Todd is... Again, concern trolling the Republican National Convention because their schedule is off.
That's the biggest thing to worry about after this whole debacle.
Well, scheduling. I mean, it does go towards our point about, you know,
the core brand proposition.
Turn him down. Yeah, the core brand proposition. But beyond that, there was a famous, I'm not going to know the quote exactly, I'm paraphrasing, but Alfred Hitchcock said that he could get American audiences to appreciate even a serial killer in his movies and to root on a serial killer if he first showed that they were competent at their jobs. Like, that was his one of his directorial principles, was if I can show someone as being competent, you know, particularly competent, maybe beyond competent at their job, the audience will then go anywhere with me in terms of that character.
I actually thought Norman Bates was very inefficient.
And
I mean, it's true.
And I think on some level, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, right? Because even if you remember, like, and I don't mean to single her out, but she's a longtime New Yorker. So Isabel Gillies, a long time ago, I think even before Trump became a candidate, she talked about being a young kid in New York when Donald Trump took over the making of the ice rink in Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
And he just made it. It was very hard for the city to do it at that time. And, you know, part of it was finances and a lot of other issues. He just made it. And for a while, he had that made him very popular in New York because the nature of New York at that time, New York City, was a much sort of a dicier place to live as opposed to now where it's just like a gated community with almost
not
like
dicey
a,
enough,
like an invisible gate that is really just made out of your credit score.
Right.
And,
right.
But at that time,
right.
But at that time, so Donald Trump just came in and just very competently built an ice rink. Now, building an ice rink's nearly not that difficult. And if you're unshackled from all the things that a democracy requires of a publicly financed project, building it's not that hard generally. I mean, you know, that's the nobody sold democracy on the idea that it's efficient.
Right. This but, is also why. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, but the point being that that's part of Trump's core brand proposition.
Look at you.
And
very
that
good,
is
Samuel.
That he
I'm
is
impressed.
Competent. And this is showing a tremendous incompetence. It's 8:15.
Well, this is also
and now
why
look at this. Poor MSNBC, they've got to put Hugh Hewitt on. I mean, let's go around and see what's going on in these different channels.
We've got to touch on Tony Schwartz, too. I mean, this is why he feels such an obligation to come out as the co-author of Ghost of the Art of the Deal. And he said that, you know, he was involved in just this giant act of public myth-making about Trump, which all had to do with competency, being a lovable rascal, and being, and another thing in that profile, he talks about how it's like, you know, Trump said, I love it for the deal itself. It's a form of art to me. And Tony Schwartz is like, no, it's all just about having more money than other rich people.
Right.
That's it. Even if you don't actually have the money, obviously.
Right. Well, now we've just gone through all the major cable channels. And I don't know what's happening on network TV. But this is pretty pathetic.
This is terrible. Has there anything been like this in your time of watching these things?
Never.
Yeah.
In fact, the funny thing is that, like, I feel like 10, 15 years ago, the big narrative was, we got to get rid of these things. They're so canned that nobody gets anything out of them. They're completely canned. Nothing interesting ever happens. They're so prepackaged and predigested. And here it is, the Republicans cannot actually put on, Donald Trump cannot put on a TV show. That's his big claim to fame, right? That his, the ratings, and man, I'll tell you something. If there was ever a time to have smartly counter-programmed, I mean, right now, I feel like we could put up, we could be doing an interview on, you know, our third interview on Social Security disability and
might,
be doing better.
Might be overstretching there, but yes, I think that.
That may be a reach.
Yeah,
that
maybe, may be a yeah, yeah. You were on a roll, and then you got a little Trump with it. That'll
be
Sam's version of Trump. I said, people love watching me talk about Medicaid reimbursement rates. They get sick
well,
of
wait
it
a second.
In a
I
good
didn't
way.
Say Medicaid reimbursement rates. That actually.
Oh, excuse me. Social Security.
Medicare
disability.
Reimbursement rates actually would be. Oh, here's Mitch McConnell.
Oh, God. He's gonna
I guess everybody cut away from him.
He's going to get booed more than anybody else at this convention.
The following to serve as the escort committee for Governor Pence, Michael Pence, Charlotte Pence and Audrey Pence.
Thank God they had that on primetime.
I could do a new Mitch impression.
All right, let's go to a couple IMs at this point. Excuse me while I'm still eating my Chinese food. It is Make America Work Again, and so...
China.
I'm literally eating the Chinese lunch.
They're very wily. You think you're eating their lunch.
That music made me stop for a moment.
I don't know. What is this?
This is a cover, too, of...
I have no idea. Oh, it's Omarosa. Nice.
Omarosa, yes. She was named the chief outreach officer to African Americans.
Incredibly respectful.
Well,
she's also incidentally from families from the Caribbean, but whatever. It's all right. Fair enough.
Well, let me say this. At least she does have. She is of African descent.
You're saying at least she's black,
right?
Sure, sure. Just like,
Why can't Ivanka do it?
What about, why can't Ivanka? Black people love Ivanka. They want to have sex with her, too. I swear to God, I was at a barbershop once, and I was talking to this guy. I said, hey, Ahmed. It's Mitch, not his name, but I call him that.
Mitch from South Carolina. I may not make it through tonight. The shit may jump off the rough.
The rough.
Epish. This one's for the hip-hop heads. MC Melania is, the word is bond. This is the Republican Party of 2016 intentionally humiliating the wife of a candidate. Putting a David Clark, whose main claim to fame is forcing tens of thousands of families out of their homes, talk about how family values. Putting Sean Duffy, the sponsor of PROMESA, an act that lowers the minimum age to $4.25 an hour for American citizens. Are we going to hear from the Kens during the RNC?
I might have to do something like that.
I forgot about that. Did you guys cover Steve King arguing for white nationalism? Didn't we recorded that last night, right? Brilliant Bilbo. Would love to hear Kelly's thoughts on racism on America and whether this might be helpful. Tried to ask yesterday, but Kelly got cut off. Is the young generation as racist and bigoted? Kelly. Kelly's not listening to the show.
My thoughts on racism that I got cut off saying, is it better or worse? It's better. The younger generation is not as racist. No. Of course not, but that wasn't what I was talking about. I was kind of going to say that I thought things might have to get slightly violent for change to... Well, I mean...
Wait, were you calling for violence last night?
I'm not calling for... Yeah, I did get cut off right before. I'm not calling for violence, but every time that something keeps happening, I'm like... thinking how much more of this are we really going to put up with without something actually happening.
Why don't you listen to your ginger-haired little friend there? It's time to burn this fucking place down.
No, not like that, but I mean, just protest without, I don't know. It's really...
That's the Kelly's Calling for Violence Again music.
The civil rights movement... I gave this a lot of thought after. Michael called me out one time because I said that, you know, things change often takes a long time. And he said, good thing you weren't around during the civil rights movement. And I thought about it, and good point.
Well, that took a long time.
How long? I mean, is whatever. Because
Sam's like schmuckiness is even funnier while he's eating Chinese food. It took a while, actually.
It did.
I know it did. That, I don't think that was the original context of how I said it. I think it was like you gotta, but at the same time, you have to make big pushes at certain points as well.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, of course,
contextually, but, I mean, in the '60s.
I mean, I don't know what constitutes a civil right, but you're talking about.
Oh, is this Ryan again?
A 20-year probably concerted effort. Leading up to Civil Rights Act. All right, let's go to Paul Ryan.
We have no concern.
Rule 40D of the rules of the Republican Party.
He already wanted to be gone.
I declare Donald J. Trump and Michael R. Pence the Republican nominees for President and Vice President of these United States.
Yeah.
Wow, talk about getting out there, reading off the rules, and walking away.
He's got
it. Guess what? Popular sentiment changes.
Who's this now? Who the hell is this guy? Wait, is this the UFC guy?
I fight for religious freedom. I am a Republican.
Blah, blah.
And by the grace of God, I am an American. So let us pray. Thank you, O Lord, for the gifts that you provide us. Not
why are you
just
talking
because
into
we
a microphone?
Them, but
why?
Solely by your grace and mercy.
God could probably hear
we
you.
We pray in thanksgiving for members of our armed
what
services
was that?
And
speak
their
up.
Families who sacrifice greatly to ensure our
talk into the mic,
talk into the mic.
I can't hear you.
Do you realize what it's like
so
to have billions of people
to
talking to you at once?
We will be forever grateful that you have blessed this nation with great men
and
women.
I'm just saying, it's amazing how well
the
music works for this. It's kind
of
disturbing.
Every day. We are thankful for those who continue to fight for religious freedom. You have chosen us, O Lord, as we gather here today to make a difference in the world.
To be honest, I didn't choose you. You just showed up.
So,
downside of having
open
rolling admissions, if you will.
Was really just working on helping Cleveland out economically.
Help us recognize
this is just what happened.
We are here
sorry.
Through the mercy and grace of you, our Creator.
Not the plan.
And that as Americans, we are blessed and should be thankful every day for the gifts
the
you have provided to us.
The weakest person on the stage by far.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So delegates mean. And alternates, please welcome co-chairman of the Republican National Committee, Sharon Day.
All right, not interested in Sharon, with all due respect.
Who the hell is Sharon
Let's go
Day?
To the IMs. Gulfstream, too. Congrats, Sam. You called it before anybody. Did you see Chris Rock's tweet, Lady Night? I'm watching the Republican convention. It's pretty good. What time does George Zimmerman speak? Wow. Politics. When Majority Report said Molina did no harm last night, I'm not sure you were right or wrong. She ate up all the media attention, but none of the other bigoted garbage did. Are the tusks on the GOP convention logo tiny to represent Trump's tiny hands? Psychedelic Quaker, when will you be taking phone calls? Well, let's take a phone call right now. You're calling from a 619 area code. Who's this? Hello? Can hear you breathing.
Doug, wake up.
Oh, I think maybe... Doug, you there? Hello?
Have some more of the dog
Doug,
that bit you.
Can you hear us?
So unprofessional.
Doug, come on.
I don't know if it's our phones that are a problem or if whether it's Doug is a problem. Let's see. I'm going to try one more time. Try a different call.
This whole convention, I keep thinking of those guys at the who trolled Trump 6 months ago. Just right, like, you're go. Boring.
Calling
boring.
One,
you're calling from a 267 area code. Who's this? 267. We're still having trouble.
Sam A.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Good boy, come on.
Hello? Who's this? I wouldn't be having trouble with the Skype again. You calling from a 267 area code. Who's this?
It's Chuck.
Chuck, what's going on?
Nothing much. I've been watching the convention with you guys. Ever since Pence was picked as the VP, I've been calling Republican senators.
Yeah.
And kind of asking, I've been asking tough questions to their staff about Pence and then also like the whole GOP platform, like the whole thing about the gay conversion therapy.
Yeah.
And a lot of them won't talk about it over the line, so then I was forced to call their campaign headquarters.
Right.
So I called my own Pennsylvania state senator, which is Pat Toomey, who's up for re-election.
Yeah.
And I asked, the first question I asked the woman I answered about was about the gay conversion therapy. And she's like, hold on. She put me on hold. I came back and said that their political advisor wasn't available and that he would call me back.
Jeez.
So he did call me back. Yeah. I wasn't expecting him to call me back, but I asked him about that. He said he wasn't really sure about the platform, so it still has to be voted on, which is a convenient excuse. He said Toomey supports non-discrimination against gays. But then when I asked him about Pence's record on abortion, he said he's pro-life. And then I asked, they weren't really willing to answer any direct questions, but I said, I hope that he would clear up a lot of these positions with the president and vice president in the next 6 months.
Great. Well, you know what? Here's my recommendation to you.
Advisor said that.
Here's my recommendation to you. In the future, you should go to fireRTC.com. And then get an account, call these people through FireRTC, and you can record the call. You know, you never know where you're going to get, and maybe send it in to us. We'll play it.
What if Melania could go to these gay clinics?
Mike would understand this, that I don't know if I want to record somebody without them knowing it.
Well, you know what? This is what I used
Kanye
to do. This is what I would do, is I would say,
that was great.
Just so you know, I'm recording this for quality assurance.
Yeah, well, he did say that Toomey doesn't support Donald Trump as of right now. So I'm still not going to vote for the guy.
Oh, we got the UFC
listen,
guy.
We got the UFC guy. I got to let you go. We got the UFC guy is on right now. All right, we're going to take appreciate the call.
Thanks, man.
Okay, free beers. That's it for you tonight. We continued on with the show because the Republicans continued on with the show. There was Melania Trump. The angry Michael Flynn, more Judy Gold. Andy Kindler showed up, but he had a cold, to be fair. We also had what, Michael? Oh, Cliff Schechter called in? Gosh. And we're recording this late, so we're sort of out of our minds. But if you want to go back and relive the magic, become a member today. Go to jointhemajorityreport.com. Don't forget, help us out by buying your Amazon or Jet.com stuff through our Majority Report kickback link. That's at majorityreportkickback.com. And also justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. We will be back Tuesday night, approximately 7 p.m. Going to have some other guests maybe in studio and some more shenanigans and hooligans. A lot of gans tomorrow night. All right, folks.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know. Choice was made for the option where you don't get paid.